Cleaning Nation. Welcome to another episode of the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast. As always, we want to start the show by telling you that you are awesome. You do such a great job of sharing the show, giving us great reviews, subscribes on iTunes, YouTube, all that stuff. The feedback I get personally and from the Facebook group is phenomenal. If you're listening to the podcast, check out the YouTube channel. If you're watching us on YouTube, feel free to take us on the road by subscribing to the podcast. You can listen on your phone, no matter where you're at. GrowMyCleaningCompany.com has everything you need to grow your cleaning company. Today, we're chatting with Sid Kozaski from Soapy Cleaning Company. Soapy Cleaning has served the Nova Scotia province of Canada with residential cleaning service. If you want to reach out to Sid and his team, you can hold them at www.getsoapy.ca. Sid, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Mike. Happy to be here.
Happy to have you, man. How long have you been in business?
I have been in business. The cleaning company has been official about a month. Kind of started hiring cleaners maybe four months ago now.
Okay. So how'd you have clean? So four, it sounds like 4 months is the, I mean, if you had cleaners and you had customers, that's official enough to me, man.
Yeah. So, I'm a full-time firefighter in the military, and I kind of started off into entrepreneurship with, having a property that I rented out on Airbnb, got really good at that, started finding other clients who I could help them with their Airbnb listing. So to do that, I needed to hire cleaners to manage efficient turnovers. That's probably about 50% of that business, having really good, reliable cleaning turnovers. So yeah, that's what I started about 4 months ago, is hiring cleaners, figuring out how to manage them, hired them as contractors to start. And it was just about a month ago, once I hired a especially good cleaner and kind of thought about how to get my cleaners business through the winter once Airbnb is dying down, and yeah, invented Soapy Cleaning Company to really just find hours for my employees.
Beautiful. So you're in the Airbnb business. You kind of mastered the cleaning part and said, well, if this is profitable for me, it could probably be profitable for other folks, and let's take the show on the road.
That's right.
Love it. It's so funny. A couple hundred of these shows later, I've heard a couple hundred answers, and they're like snowflakes, man. No two are the same. I always get a cool new answers to how people found the cleaning business. So what's shaking in your world that we can help you with today?
Yeah, so I started with my niche's Airbnb cleaning turnovers. Probably not a huge enough market for me to get my cleaners full-time hours doing that. Definitely not through the winter in Halifax, Nova Scotia. So I started getting other business partnerships. And now my cleaners have the potential to do new condo cleans, move in, move out, regular housekeeping, I think, is what makes the most sense for my niche, flat rate, high-end cleans. But right now, where I have really good employees and not enough work for them, I'm wondering what your take is, if I should just start kind of taking what I can get if it's somewhat in the realm of residential cleaning.
Oh, good question. So I'll give you a short answer and the long answer, as is my custom. The short answer is no, I would never take what I could get. That's not a business that's just trading certain services for dollars, which best case can be profitable for a little while, but won't build you any wealth. Worst case can just suck your life out of you. So no, I would never, never, never just randomly go, I got cleaners, what do I want to do? That, you know, that's something I learned that from my youth, when, you know, I had a manufacturing company, and it was easy to be like, oh, we've got all this capacity to build this and that and the other. And, you know, the joke around the office is I come home, or I come back from a conference or some sort of educational event, and be like, all right, we're building boats, or whatever the case is, we're doing this, we're doing something different. And that never served me. It took me transitioning out of that business and starting a focused niche business to really grow my first multi-million dollar business. And then everyone since then has been extremely focused and extremely successful. So sadly, that was my short answer. No, let's not just kind of take what comes, because I'll tell you, what comes is the scraps, the jobs that nobody else wants, or that are super price sensitive, or the quote unquote real business owners have tried, realized there's no money here, exited the market and left it to new guys coming in going, hey, this is the best thing ever. So move in, move outs, I would put under that category in terms of the very easy to get. So they're tempting. People are like, oh my gosh, I got this real estate person. He keeps me busy, blah, blah, blah. And it's so profitable. And then I say, great, send me over your P&L. And it is not profitable. And they're working all the time. And they're trying to manage going from, I need zero employees today, to 13 tomorrow, to three the next day, to none for the next week, and up and down. So I like the Airbnb niche because you can get, I like recurring. Anything recurring where it's like, hey, we're constantly going to be cleaning and doing the same thing over and over again, we like. Move in, move outs is totally different. You've got to, I understand that they can come to you in bunches from a realtor, but you've got to understand what the person needs, set them up as a customer, start billing. You do all the work that you would do for a recurring customer, but your lifetime value is $400 as opposed to $4,000. Whereas an Airbnb customer or a regular residential clean, lifetime value is high. So what that translates to is because lifetime value is low for the regular cleaners, people that think I made $100 an hour because I did a $300 job and it only took me 3 hours or 4 hours, I mean $50 an hour, whatever the case may be, is fine. But while you were doing that cleaning, you weren't building a business. So the people that don't know how to get customers settle for the move in, move outs, because those are easy to get because they're not profitable. The ones that are a little harder to get are residential recurring, where you sell it once and till the end of time, or they tell you to cut it out, you make $200-$400 a month without any extra work. So I would highly encourage you to find recurring revenue. So for the Airbnb, I think is great. You made the good point of it's great, but it's going to be seasonal. So I need something for my folks to do when it's not seasonal. Recurring residential, I think is phenomenal, but we're looking for weekly and every other week cleans. Thoughts, questions, fears hold up so far?
No, absolutely. That makes sense. Airbnb is actually an amazing niche in my market because I can have the same client 7 times a month. It's just a little tough because I have to have so many cleaners to be on call all the time and they all have to be trained up on the same listing, and so the quality control kind of gets a little tough there. But yeah, everything you said makes sense for my focus.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, the quality control for Airbnb is just requires a little better system than for a residential, but it's the same thing. Both Airbnb and residential have their kind of particulars that they like in terms of do this, don't do that. It really just takes one good checklist that you can fill out at the when you start any account, whether it's a residential home or an Airbnb, a vacation rental. If you've got a good checklist and you're really clear about asking the owner the questions that they like, having suggestions of, oh, we usually do this and people seem to like that, and you fill that out properly, the goal is not to have, oh, this is this cleaner and he knows this account or she knows this account, so we're always going to have them matched up, because then when that cleaner calls in or gets sick or hit by a bus or quits or whatever the case may be, now you're stuck. So we want to have a system or a form that knows, quote unquote, knows that account. And then you can put in any new person that can read and they can, and understands the system in your form, and they can do a good job. So big thing is recurring. And I know, because I've been there, I don't know how old you are, but you sound like a younger guy. Lots of opportunity presents itself. And because we're entrepreneurs, everyone else sees headache and, oh, how, that's just a problem. Whereas we see a problem that can be solved in a profitable way, which is great. That's what gets us into the business. The problem is, we see everything as an opportunity. And if everything's an opportunity, then nothing's an opportunity, right? If I clean boats, cars, houses, residences, commercial buildings, guitars, babies, you know, whatever the case may be, then I really don't have any customer, right? I'm not getting good at anything. I'm reinventing the wheel every time I get a new customer. Whereas with if you're just focusing on Airbnb and maybe residential recurring customers, you can be an expert in, you know, the Airbnb, that's one pain, right? Their pain isn't the same as maybe the working mom who needs a cleaner. They've got totally different pains. So if you just start with those two niches, because the Airbnb is not going to serve you year round, that's the way I'd go. But if you kind of have a move in, move out, you just have to relearn the customer every, just about every time, because you have no, again, the short version is go for high lifetime value. So Airbnb made a great point. Instead of once a month or twice a month or even once a week, you're getting 2 and 3 cleans a week, which is fantastic. If it was year round in your area, like there's some places that are year round Airbnb, I'd say just focus on that. Don't do anything else. Get to be the best at that. Since you're in a spot where that doesn't make sense and you've got to kind of offset during cold months, absolutely, let's have the recurring residential. Thoughts, questions, comments, rude remarks?
No, absolutely, it makes sense, and you really hit it, that entrepreneurial mindset. So just the stress of trying to figure out who's going to take care of my Airbnb, which is an hour away from where I live, I realized I had to start a cleaning company to take care of it, because there was nothing really serviced in that niche. So,
yeah. And it's fantastic. I guess the last piece of feedback I'll give you before I hit the lightning round is always work backwards. So many people do this where they start a business, they kind of wander into the business, right? Like lots of folks, when I say, hey, how'd you get in the business? I get a lot of different stories, and a lot of them are wandering in like, well, I had this, or I had a buddy, or I did this, or exactly like you said, I started this for this and hired my own housekeeper, and it grew from there. That's great. Those are probably some of my favorite stories. But the one blind spot that we can kind of fill in for you is they don't have a clear picture of what they want their business to look like. They just see a problem that needs to be solved. They solve it. They make a little money and they go, great, fantastic. I'm going to blow this thing up, which is great. The only problem is I get them 4 years in when they're doing $600,000 in revenue and they're like, I hate my business. I work 100 hours a week. I don't make any money. This is the worst thing ever. So instead of waiting to 4 years and, you know, we try to unring that bell then, I can encourage you now to be very clear on the end game. What do you want this business to look like, as Michael Gerber would say, when it's finally done, right? What do you want to be working 20 hours a week or 100 hours a week? Do you want to be cleaning? Do you want to be managing? Do you want to be building culture? Do you want to be selling? Are you building this to sell? Do you want a bunch of income? Do you want a bunch of value that you can give to your kids? Depending on what your end goals are, you know, different tool for different job, right? And it's not to say a screwdriver is good and a hammer is bad. It's to say, well, if I'm trying to hammer nails, screwdriver is almost worthless and a hammer is pretty dang valuable. So we want to make sure you don't just start working, right? You've got a clear picture of this is what I want this business to do for me in terms of freedom or financial freedom or time freedom or just sense of accomplishment. And here's how I want my life to look. And then let's build a business that will help you make your life look that way, as opposed to just going, I see an opportunity. I'm a smart guy. I'm going to jump in and kill it. Does that make, I know it's kind of a subtle difference, but does that register at all?
Yeah, completely.
Okay, cool. So that would be my feedback. Be clear on where you want to go and then pick the perfect customer that you think is a vehicle to get you there. And God bless you. Enough of me talking. Let's pass the mic and give the opportunity for our new to the business friend, Sid, to share some of your experience with Clean Nation. We're going to hit the lightning round. I'm going to ask you three quick questions. I have no doubt you're going to give three amazing answers. Question number one, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received, personal or professional?
Don't be afraid to fail. And actually, nobody gave me this advice when I got in. I got the opposite advice from pretty much everybody. Is what if you lose all your money? What if it doesn't work out? But my attitude is just, who cares? Worst case is I lose $5,000 and learn more about business than I would have if I had spent it on business school.
You are not kidding, brother. And I have found those people that are telling you, be afraid to fail. What they're really saying is, I'm terrified to fail. And what I really am is a little lazy and scared that I won't do well. And if you get out there and do well, then I'll look stupid and, more importantly, feel stupid about myself. So we can't have that. I'm going to give you the very wise advice of don't do anything that could possibly get you in trouble, because if you succeed, then I'll feel bad about myself. So couldn't agree more. I tell people all the time, I'd never got a PhD in coaching or, you know, any, you know, gold star on my forehead. I just failed a lot faster and more frequently than most of you guys, so I can share the mistakes I've made. So I couldn't agree more, Sid. That is wise advice, young man. All right, biggest mistake you've ever made in the cleaning business that we can all perhaps learn from. And you're new, so I can't wait to hear. You're like, I've only been in a month or 4 months, depending on how you count, but I'm sure you've already made some mistakes. I would love you to share the one I think we can all grow from.
Yeah, heaps of mistakes. And I actually just turned 30 right when I started the business, so I have a long way to go, but the biggest mistake is becoming attached to my phone and making excuses for it. I've always had that pet peeve of people using their phone at dinner when you're trying to connect with your friends and family. And I made the excuse that I need to answer these cleaning requests now. If I don't get this contract, the business won't grow at the pace I want. But yeah, no cleaning contract is worth alienating your friends and family. So that's what I'm working on now, is overcoming that, really setting boundaries.
Sid, I got to tell you, you are operating at a 50-year-old level. Gosh dang it, I couldn't agree more. These are Cleaning Nation. If you're just kind of like, the coaching part's over, I'm going to, move to the next one. Sid is dropping gold. I could not agree more. If literally you just went into business saying, I'm going to fail faster and have no shame about failing, and I'm going to set big, clear boundaries and put my family first and important things first and my business a far second, you're going to do better than 97% of the guys and gals out there. That is, I couldn't agree more. As a guy that, again, learned the hard way, spent my whole 20s alienating my family and having my mistress of a business, couldn't agree more. Absolutely. And the funny thing is, believe it or not, as I've become more balanced and say, nope, this is my family, this is this, I will do that, I won't do that, and if it costs me work or money, so be it. Oddly enough, the paradox is I've made more money and been more successful with those boundaries than without. So it's not like, well, I don't want to torch my family to get rich. It's like, I don't want to torch my family and choke the growth of my business. It's odd that I've seen business owners that are unhinged and have no boundaries have a hard time growing. Ones that have clear boundaries and family first grow faster. So you're right on like six different levels, whether you knew it or not, brother. All right, last question. Now I feel like, man, I should give Sid like five questions because you're knocking it out of the park. What's one idea that Cleaning Nation can put into practice? Something simple and easy that they can, as soon as this podcast is over, go put into practice and make their life or their business just 1% better.
Okay. This one is actually crazy simple and easy. And I started listening to entrepreneurial podcasts about a year ago, and that has been really my push, actually. A year ago, since I started listening to entrepreneurial podcasts, my goals have been become an entrepreneur, be a guest on a podcast, and hire a VA, which I just crossed the last one off the list.
Hey!
But every single one of those, yeah.
Wait. Was the goal to be on a good podcast or just a podcast?
a podcast where I'm providing value. And I love that on this one, I'm not plugging myself at all. There's just no way I could do it to other cleaning companies around the world. So
you could absolutely plug, but it would get you zero business. So everyone in Nova Scotia that's listening that doesn't own a cleaning company but needs cleaners, you go to Sid and he'll hook you up. There's your plug. Continue, man.
All right. Sophie Cleaning Company, getsophie.ca. No, I'm just joking.
No, it's okay.
Every podcast has said network. You should network from the beginning. And that's been my biggest fear is networking. I didn't think I had anything of value to provide. Why would a 50-year-old real estate developer or the CEO of a cleaning software company want to talk to me? But just in the last few months, I kind of accidentally fell into networking being on your podcast is an example of it, but pretty much everyone who's contacted me trying to sell me a VA or cleaning products or talk about their companies, I have set up a half an hour call with them. And yeah, it's really exploded my business just talking to, I mean, half of them are salespeople, but as soon as I started, it opened up a lot of doors. So I clicked on your Facebook group, just kind of the social media networking. And as soon as I did, Natalie contacted me to be on this podcast. And yeah, networking is really actually pretty easy.
That's how it works, by the way. Anytime someone joins a Facebook group, if Natalie thinks you're good looking, you're in. That's it. She invites you to the podcast. So I don't know. You must be a good looking fellow, Sid. I can only assume.
Yeah, you need to do a video podcast, I guess.
Yeah, we do. Anyone that's on that wants to be on the podcast, we always offer video first because it's more fun. And I want to say, just in response to what you said, Sid, on the networking, I felt for a long time, and I was right. Gosh, and I started a little younger. I was like 22, and I did not have a college education. I felt very like I don't know anything about anything. So I would have gone away from, well, yeah, Sid, you're 30 and you're smart and you've done all this stuff. You know, you could do it, but I could never. And I bring that up because there's probably listeners here in Cleaning Nation that go like, I feel the same way, Sid. I don't have anything to offer, and I'm too young, or I'm too inexperienced, or I've been a housewife my whole life. I just don't have anything to offer. And let's assume that's the case. I mean, obviously you do, right? If you're a housewife, you've raised kids, trust me, you've got some wisdom that the rest of us probably need. But let's assume that you're right and don't have anything to offer, which is how I felt. You can network the best way to be interesting is to be interested. I got smart by asking the stupidest questions, embarrassing questions that if I look back and said, oh my gosh, how those people must have thought I was such a knucklehead. And I was a knucklehead, but I was sincere, right? I really wanted to know. And that's how I got smart, by asking a lot of dumb questions. So if you're afraid you don't have anything to offer or that's too scary, ask a lot of questions and just be interested in the other human being. Couple things. First of all, they may not have that anywhere in their life and just may go home and go, wow, I feel violated or cared for, you know. My day got a little better because of that human. That's the worst case. Best case is you'd be shocked at people that are older, wiser, smarter, that have resources that you would like or need. You get a lot farther going, gosh, Sid, tell me about you. Tell me about your life. How did that make you feel? What's that? Wow, you're smart. How did you do that? I would have never done that. Tell me about that. If you just ask good questions and listen, people will open up not just their hearts, but their checkbooks, their Rolodex, their contact list, the things that you need that you've got. If you're just interested, they will find you interesting and share your stuff. Any final words, Sid, before we sign off?
No, that covers it.
Beautiful. Well done, man. Really good podcast. I really appreciate your feedback. Thanks for being on the show. Thanks for showing your passion. Your answers to the questions were really good. I appreciate you. I know Clean the Nation appreciates you. Clean the Nation, if you want to check out Sid's show notes page, maybe we can get him to show us a picture and, you know, verify or deny this good-looking rumor. It's all going to be at growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out. I will see you there.
Congratulations. You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies, as well as industry experts, can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer, Natalie, at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.